All right, well, welcome class of 2026. Glad that you're here. One thing that you're just going to hear a lot, I can't help it, you're just going to hear full send. So I figured, why not full send it into this rising freshman Sunday? So the message title of today is Full Send into Senior High. That is today's message title. Maybe you've heard me say this before. Maybe you like it. Maybe you're tired of hearing it. I can't help you on that one. Let me tell you a little bit of that story about Full Send. So Full Send goes back to winter retreat of 2020. Believe it or not, that was pre-COVID. That was like one of the last big things we did before COVID hit. It's just weird to say 2020 because you just automatically equate 2020 with COVID. But we actually went away, had the winter retreat. And there was this, our speaker was Thalen. Who remembers Thalen? Okay. So Thalen was this total bro, like total bro. And he was telling this story, this snowboarding story, because he loves to snowboard. And so he was telling this story about how they were up on top of some mountain. And like, I think at this point, he like barely knew how to snowboard. And so his buddy was like, dude, you just got to full send it. Like, don't stop. Just go down the mountain. Just full send it. I'm pretty sure he like full sent it down and like broke his arm and his hip. That's not what we're going for here in senior high. But that's what happened. And so I don't know. I just liked it. It was like full send. I liked that idea. And so it just kind of stuck with me. And I just kept on saying it like over and over and over and over until like if you're my wife or you work with me, you got tired of hearing it. But you know why I liked full send? Because there's something inside of me that just wants to take everything to the next level. And as I've gotten a little bit older, I've began to learn when that next level is good, when that next level is not so good. But just want to take things to the next level and take it one step further and to do what most people only talk about wanting to do. So I also like the term full send because I think a lot of people, and even Christians, think Christians can't have fun and they can't have adventures. I think that's just kind of like an overriding thought. It's like, oh, well, if you're a Christian, you just got to be like really good and stay in your lane and not. And I don't think that's true. Like, I really believe that I want to prove that wrong to say with Jesus, we can have some of the crazy, coolest adventures. And they might look different than what maybe the world sees as adventures. But I think we can have some crazy adventures and full send it when we get to see the God of the universe do crazy cool things when we full send it in obedience to him. So if you're counting how many times I've said full send, I think it's 10 already. Going for like at least 150 this morning. So here's what I want you to do. If you think about this idea of full sending is do what others only talk about doing. That's the main point of today's message. Full sending is doing what others only talk about doing. I want you at your table to take like 3 minutes to talk about what does full sending look like to you? Like, what does it look like for you in your life? What's something that you do that others only talk about doing? Now, there's obviously going to be people that also do that. But when you think about it, what's the thing that you kind of do that others only talk about doing? So take a couple minutes to talk about that at your table. You got about 3 minutes or so. So 2020, full send kind of starts, said it a lot, people got annoyed, but kept on saying it. Well, then it like sort of became a thing, and then people were saying it, it didn't seem as weird, and so we decided to get some shirts made. They basically said like full send on the front, and they said discover God, engage people. And that was my desire of what really our heartbeat of the student ministry would be, that we would full send it as we discover God and as we engage people. And that's what we're called to do as Christians and as the senior high ministry, is to discover God in all the things that we do and engage people. So if you look at anything that we do, it's going to be one of those two things, and most of the time it's going to be both. Discover God, engage people. And so today, for the rising freshman here, the goal of this message is really to give you a vision for what we do in senior high, and not really just like, Christina talked about the individual events that we do, but say, what's our overall vision? And what's our overall vision is to discover God and engage people so that you can join us in building God's kingdom. We want you to be a part of building God's kingdom. And for those of you that have been in senior high 1, 2, 3, 4 years, we want to remind you today, what are we all about? You know, I think there's something often for me that's is likes going back to the basics. Just go back to the basics. Like sometimes we can, I think sometimes we can complicate the Christian life and be like, well, I got to do this thing and then this step and this step. And ultimately it's like, let's not complicate it. Let's just be like, okay, God, what do you want us to do? You want us to discover you, to know who you are through your word, through fellowship, through worship, through teaching, all these different things. And then we want to engage people. We want to engage people within the student ministry, and we want to engage people outside of here. We want to discover God not only here, but discover God outside of here. And so that's the vision for senior high. But we could walk away from this and be like, okay, full sending it as a follower of Christ. It's about, dude, you got to do big things. I was walking over to a table and they're like, well, a full send for our table would be going skydiving, right? And like sometimes our minds can go there and be like, oh, that's what it is. I got to do these massively crazy things and then I'll be full sending it. And I want to tell you, it's not necessarily about the huge things. It's just this: do what others only talk about doing. How often do people talk about the things that they want to do, talk about the things that God wants them to do, big, small, from as what seemingly as small as, I actually want to get up and read my Bible this summer. Like, people talk about that, but actually going, no, I'm actually going to do it. To me, that is the essence of a full send, is it's about doing what others only talk about doing. The Bible, in my opinion, I mean, I don't think it's said like this in the Bible, but it's full of full senders. Bible's full of full senders. People who did what others only said they wanted to do. There's a lot of talk in the world about what they want to do and saying, Lord, let me do what others only talk about doing. And you know why the Bible's full of that? It's because they just said, okay, God, I believe you. I believe you. I'll do it. I'll just do what you called me to do. Hebrews 11:6 says this: and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So if you're like, I want to full send by doing what others only talk about doing, you just take this verse at what God said it is. That by faith, without faith it's impossible to please him, but with faith it is possible to please God, for whoever would draw near to him and believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That as I walk with Christ, it's not that he's going to give me some massive blessings, but he's going to reward me. And as I follow him, I get to see him move and work around me. So today we're going to look at one story of a full sender. His name is Peter. Raise your hand if you've heard of Peter in the Bible. Okay, good. Most of you. It's fine. It's the story of Peter walking on the water. Now let me give you just a quick background, because you got to kind of understand this background to get the full scope of this story. Peter and the disciples and Jesus had just fed, it really wasn't just 5,000 people. It was more than that. 5,000 men plus all the women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We could leave here and go, that's a full send. Let's go home. Jesus did it. So you got it. But that's the context of what just happens. And we pick up in Matthew 14. Verses 22, and it says this: immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go, but this is Jesus, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountainside to pray to himself. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Okay, this is on the Sea of Galilee that this is happening. And you got to realize, when it says the Sea of Galilee, it's a little bit misleading. The Sea of Galilee is actually just a really big lake. I've actually seen it. This is a picture that I actually took myself of the Sea of Galilee over in Israel. It's a really pretty lake. It's on kind of more towards the northern part of Israel. It's where most of Israel gets their fish from. And it was really important. It still is really important to the economy in Israel. It's where they got most of their food from. Eat a lot of fish. And it's surrounded by, not huge mountains, but it's kind of surrounded by mountains. Now, even on this lake, at night, they're out there in the pitch black, which I don't fully understand that, but they were, we got to get it, they were also, most of these disciples were fishermen. So they knew this lake. Like, they knew it. They knew where the fish would be. They knew where to go. But even at night, when a huge storm would come up, they It would easily freak them out, and it would freak us out. And it ain't like they have a motor just to go to the other side and be like, we're there, right? They've only got oars. And so they're freaked out. Do any of you, anybody here, raise your hand if you remember the derecho in 2012. Anybody remember the derecho in 2012? Okay, got a few people. So I was down in Lynchburg at that time and was living there. And we were actually camping with a group of young adults. And it was June 29th. It was one of those perfect nights. It was kind of cool outside. It wasn't really hot. We're all sitting at the campsite. We're just enjoying a fire. And all of a sudden, I'm not trying to overemphasize this to be a pastor. Like, it literally sounded like a train was coming through the woods. Like, that's what it sounded like. And before we could even do anything and understood what happened, the wind comes. I kid you not, like, huge branches are falling off trees. It was crazy. Lightning just comes. And a derecho is like this freak storm that comes with massive winds, massive lightning, not a lot of rain, but a ton of wind. And so branches are just falling everywhere. We all just like get in our cars. We drive to like the bathhouse there just to be safe. Well, it ended up, but it was really serious. And Lynchburg was really serious. If you actually go to the next picture, this is a picture from Oakton. There's a tree that fell during the derecho. And we got home. We were without power for 11 days. It was 93 degrees in our house. So we camped outside of our house. That's how hot it was. It's like way too hot in here. So all I'm saying is I can understand a little bit. If you think about some of like maybe a freak storm you've been through, you can kind of get how the disciples are feeling at this point, right? They're out in the middle of this lake in the middle of the night, and this freak storm comes up. And the storm must have been bad if a bunch of fishermen are scared. So that's kind of the setting that it comes into. And then we continue in verses 25 and 26, and it says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Now, the fourth watch of the night is probably like this 4 a.m. time. And he says, he came to them. Jesus comes to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. You know, they'd probably been on this lake. Many of them are fishermen. They've been on this like many, many times. They've probably been on it since they were boys, because probably if they were fishermen, their dads were fishermen, and their grandfathers were fishermen. So they've been on this like many, many times. But they were freaked out by this storm, and it was real. You know, it's kind of interesting. It's totally like Jesus to be like, just help these guys see, feeding 5,000 people. Now I'm going to send them out on the lake and just scare them a little bit. I mean, I don't think he was necessarily trying to do that, but I think Jesus is helping them realize where their faith is placed. Now, you might ask yourself, I asked myself when I first read this, I'm like, why did they think it was a ghost? Did they believe in ghosts? And I'd say, let's ask this question. Have you ever seen someone walk in water in the middle of the storm, in the middle of a lake? Probably not. That's probably why they thought it was a ghost. They were kind of freaked out. They're like, what is this? We've never seen this before. We've been on this lake before. We have never seen this. So Jesus walks out, they see him, they don't really know it's him, they're freaked out, the storm's coming. Now not only is it a storm, they might be capsized, they might die, but also there's a guy walking on the water. Then in verse 27 and 28 it says this, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And this is where I believe the full send begins. The full send is doing what others only talk about doing. The full send is doing what others only talk about doing. Now, Jesus calls out to them audibly, and he's like, yo, calm down. It's me, Jesus, your leader. Might be a little weird I'm walking on water, but it's me. You know, it's funny. He doesn't even say, actually, it's me, Jesus. He just says, it is I. I think there's something powerful about that. In the midst of the storm, Jesus just says, it is I. That's how powerful his voice is. Kind of in the midst of the storm, in the midst of life, for him to say, it is I, don't be afraid. They knew his voice. In the middle of the storm, when they were fearing for their own lives, Jesus just simply says, it is I. Now, Peter's response is what I love and is the full send. He says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, if I'm honest, and I think if you're honest, here's what I would have said to Jesus. Jesus, if it's you, can you please calm this storm down? Like, if you're walking on water, you can stop this thing. They might have been like, can you like teleport us to shore? Like, can you do that Philip thing and just have us there? Like, can you jump forward 1,000 years and put a motor on this thing and get us over there? Like, can you just get on the boat and give us a hug maybe? Like, you know what I mean? Those are all the things that I feel like I'd be saying in my mind. I'd be freaked out. And you know, Peter is known to be a little headstrong and to speak before he thinks. My wife knows a guy like that. How many of you have said yes to something before? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have said yes to something before you thought you were going to say, before you really thought about it? For some of you, it's probably been me, John, or Christina asking you to speak on stage. You know, when God calls us to do some of these things and we say yes, there was something inside of Peter that just said, I need to full send it right here, right now. When it doesn't make any sense. When I sit there and think about this, it just makes no sense to me that Peter, in the midst of this storm, he, like I said, I would say anything else, but Jesus, if it's you, call me out into the water. But Peter's like, this is it. And when you full send it and you do what other people only talk about doing, you get to experience things that others don't or haven't. And so, this is what happens to Peter. He's like, I'm going to full send it. I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to say, call me out. And can you imagine, though, like, think back like a couple months before with the disciples and they, before they're on the sea, they were probably like, you know, if Jesus ever does something crazy like walk on water, I'd totally do that with him. Like, if he called me out, I'd be there with him. And then Peter was probably like, no, you wouldn't, Simon. You're just saying that because you're a zealot. And then Simon's like to Peter, you think you're good at everything. Get a job. You know, like I can just see this like interaction that they have because they're all like in the like faith. We would do it. We would do it. And then the moment comes and what's everybody else doing? They're on the boat. They're doing what's natural. What's natural to them is to sit on the boat to be like, we got to figure this out. What's going on here? And Peter says, if it's you, Lord, call me out. And so then in verse 29, it says, he said, come. So Peter goes out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came to Jesus. And you know, Peter did it. A lot of times, I don't know, I guess I'm a glass half full kind of person. When I read this story, I don't look at the fact that we're going to read in just another verse that Peter ultimately starts sinking. I just look at the fact that Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. Everybody else stayed in the boat. He full sent it. He did what everyone else was only talking about wanting to do. He walked on the water. You know, Matthew just says it so casually. So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came to Jesus. I'm like, dude, he walked on water. Like, who's ever wakeboarded or skied? Anybody ever wakeboarded or skied? Like, that's hard enough in itself and a motorboat's pulling you. Like, he walked on water. He literally did the supernatural. None of the other disciples could ever say that they walked on water. In the midst of the storm, the rest of the disciples are in the boat. They're scared and they're fearful, which is natural. I agree with that. It's what I probably would do. And it's how we naturally live. We live to protect ourselves. We live to keep life under control. We don't want to step out too much. High school is this bubble. It's this bubble. You're so worried about what other people think about you. You know, especially if you're a rising freshman coming in here today, you're probably like, oh, it's going to be weird. It's going to be different. It's over on the other side. What are their donuts going to taste like? What will people think of me? Is it going to be boring? You know, I've heard senior high, they don't have any fun. You know, are the senior hires scary? Did I pick the right outfit again? You know, all these things. Again, all normal emotions to have. But what I want to tell you is, I think from the life of Peter, we see that those normal emotions and fears don't have to keep us from full sending it on what the Lord calls us to. Doing what others only talk about wanting to do. So Peter's obedience to Jesus and faith allowed him to walk on water. Now we got a note here. We got to stop here and we got a note here. The purpose of Peter walking on the water was not just for himself so he could be like, I did it. I walked on the water. It was ultimately for Peter to learn and trust and grow in Jesus and his relationship. And when God calls you out to things, the whole purpose is not so you can be like, look at this thing I did, but to be like, God grew me. He stretched me in this. I saw him work. He grew my faith. to see that Jesus can be fully relied upon on. Jesus wants to stretch your faith, and he wanted to do the same for Peter, and he wants to do the same for us. You know, often we want Jesus and our faith to kind of be like this little genie in a bottle. If we rub the bottle and Jesus gives us what we want, we have good grades, we have friends, we have the girlfriend or the boyfriend, we have the clothes, we have the popularity, we have the pressure. If all those things are there, it's great. But then when those go away, we're like, God, where are you? You're not doing what I want. And God's like, that's not the goal. The goal and the purpose was for you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength, and to love others as yourself. Now, I think I put that verse up there. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. This is one of the kind of religious leaders was like, Jesus, what's the best thing we're supposed to do? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The two commandments, these two commandments depend on all the law and all the prophets. He says, I'm summing up what the Christian life looks like. Now let me ask you a question. Does that sound familiar to you? Discover God, engage people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Discover God, engage people, love your neighbor as yourself. When God calls us out in obedience, this is why. For his glory, to love him and to love people. So here's what happens. Peter walks out on the water. He's full sending. He's like, I'm living it right now. And then in verses 30 through 31, it says this. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? We just got to stop for a minute and be like, they weren't on concrete. Jesus reached into the water and pulled him out. That's a miracle in and of itself again. And you know what I think Peter probably realized in that moment? Walking on water was never on his own power. When he walked on the water, it was never on his own power. It was Jesus. It was Peter's faith in Jesus that allowed him to walk on the water. When he began to be afraid is when he began to sink. When he took his eyes off Christ, when he took off the reality that as I'm focused on Christ, my faith is in him, I can walk on this water. It was never on his own power. I think that's what he realized in that moment. And our ability to walk by faith as followers of Christ is in Christ's power. It's when we obey him and the Holy Spirit enables us to walk by faith. And so, Jesus gives him this interesting response. He's like, come on, Peter, why are you afraid? Like, oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? Now, again, maybe this is because I'm a glass half full person, but this is kind of how I picture Jesus saying this. I don't necessarily see it as a harsh rebuke. I think in saying it more to Peter is like, Peter, this is the Lee translation a little bit, okay? Peter, you were full sending it and trusting me. You were walking on water with me. You were trusting by faith in me, doing what none of your other brothers were doing, seeing me work. Why did you doubt, Peter? When the only reason you walked in the water on the first place was because of my power and your faith. Peter, I just saw you grow in trusting me. Let me reach down, let me pull you up, and let's get back in the boat. I think that's powerful. And Jesus is like, there's going to be times where we're going to go out, we're going to trust by faith, and we're going to start sinking sometimes. We get scared, we're out there, we're feeling kind of alone, none of our friends are trying to live their faith out. Even kids in the youth group are like, you're kind of weird, you're like a Jesus freak, right? And it's in those moments that Jesus is going to be like, keep rising me, fall some, let me pull you back up, let's keep walking. And then in verse 32 through 33, it said this, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, for those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. It was all about God's glory. It was for him to be worshiped. We also need to realize, again, Jesus steps into the boat and the wind ceases. That's the power of Christ. Jesus calls us to do what everybody else is only talking about doing. So, you're going to have a table question, and then I'm going to end with a little way to help you kind of apply this in your life. So the table question is, what did you learn about stepping out in faith from Peter's story? Take about 3-4 minutes for that. All right, let me finish up here. Sorry, I feel like it's a good discussion. Let me kind of bring it down, because again, I think we could walk away going, oh, like, I got to do something big. Like, what big is God calling me to do? And again, I think when we define full sending it as do what others only talk about wanting to do, let me just bring it down for you, how you could full send it this summer. Okay, discover God this summer. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Sunday morning, be there. Sunday mornings, fellowship with God, be here, worship God, listen to the messages, take notes, engage in discussion. Like, to me, that is full sending it. It's doing what others only talk about doing. Like, engage in what we do here. Don't just come, but engage in it. Discover God. Sunday night small groups. Come when you come. Listen, actually listen to the messages. Ponder on them. Think on them. When you go into your small group, actually engage in the discussion. When we do Wednesday night reunites, like, come, have fun, participate in them to discover how is God working around me. You know, summer camp, when you go to summer camp, if you're going, which most of you are, don't make it just about fun, but be like, oh, I'm going to go there. I'm actually going to take my quiet time seriously. If no one else in my small group is, I'm going to take it seriously. I want to grow. When you go there, you know, this is going to sound really crazy. Actually go to bed at a decent time so that when it comes to the evening messages, you could actually listen. Worship with your whole heart. Discover who God is there. Outside of here, how do you discover God this summer? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. What if you're going to full send it and you set a plan this summer to read through a book of the Bible and actually study it, work through it, understand it? Again, full sending is doing what others only talk about doing. If we went around and were like, how could you make your summer profitable this summer spiritually? 90% of you would be like, if I actually read my Bible. And then 85% are like, I never did it. And 5% are like, let me do what others only talk about doing. So how could you full send it? By engaging with people this summer. Sunday morning, don't just come here and be a consumer and think, oh, it's about me, teach me, do it for me. Come and be like, how do I intentionally engage with people? How do I actually talk to people? How do I step outside my box? How do I look for ways to encourage people? Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, stir up one another to love and good works. Encourage one another. Don't neglect meeting together. When you come to Sunday morning, Sunday night small groups this summer, have a mindset of engaging with people, helping others feel like they have a place and they can be cared for. See, that is full sending it, because it's doing what others only talk about doing. Summer camp, yes, come, grow in your faith, have fun, but look to be outside of yourself. And how can I engage with the people around me and care for them? You know, another way this summer to full send it would be, how do I serve people around me? How do I love people around me? How do I do something that's beyond just me sleeping in and playing video games and reading a bunch of books? You know, outside of church stuff, go, God, who do you want me to care for this summer? Who do you want me to serve this summer? And I'll end here. How could you full send it next year as you go away, whether that's to stay in high school or you're going away to college or whatever it may be? Discover God. Don't neglect to meet together. Find a local church to be a part of. Engage in this group. On Wednesday night small groups, when we create that group and it's you and your group, be like, dude, am I committed to being there? Because God has put me in this group for a purpose. Actually go there in discussions and talk. Discover the word. Be that person that's willing to go there in your own life and ask questions about the word. You know, maybe God's calling you this year to be on a mission team, the Lead the Cause mission team that we do. Maybe that's a step that he's calling you to take. Be willing to discover God in that. You know, maybe it's engaging people. How do we full send in engaging people? Maybe it's freshman fellowship. You're going to learn more about it. That's a way for our rising freshmen and our upperclassmen to have this relationship and grow, mentor each other. Discover God and engage people and be willing to step out. So I'm excited for what God wants to do in the student ministry this year. I'm glad that the rising freshman that you're here, I want us to do what others only talk about doing in really small ways and see what God would do with that. The last full send I want to talk about is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who I think sent it the most when he died for us on the cross. He was the Messiah that came and said, I will definitely do what others only talk about doing. That he would be the ultimate sacrifice on the cross to die for us. Because I really believe without you trusting in that, there's no way for you to full send it for the Lord. He has to dwell within you. And if that's something that you've never believed before, man, today I would invite you to make that decision, make that yours. And this summer be, as it says here, full send in the summer, into Gap. So that's something you haven't done. Come talk to me, talk to your leader. But we're excited for you guys to be here, to be a part of the student ministry. And it's cool to be a part of what God's doing. Let me pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, these rising freshmen coming in, these parents being here, God being able to worship you. And Lord, I pray, God, we would be willing by faith in you, because we're called by you to do what others only talk about doing. And to see you work, God, to not be so worried about our own life and keeping it together and being safe, but saying, God, what do you want to do around me? I pray that you moved here today. In Jesus' name, amen.